Every parent has a lot of things that they pray over their kids. Right? As believers, when our kids are born, man, we spend a lot of time praying over the course of their life for their salvation, that they would know and trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's a thing. We spend time praying for their kids, for our kids' friends, that their friends would know and love Jesus with all their heart. We pray for their future spouses one day, that God would capture their hearts as well, and that they'd develop a home built on the love of God. These are things we pray. Some parents pray that their kids would hit it big and that they'd be able to retire early. I think that's a thing that some parents pray. There's a lot of parents in here, I'm sure, that pray that their kids would pick A&M over UT. That's definitely got to be a thing in here. And listen, I know it goes the other way too. There's parents that pray for UT over A&M because not everybody's perfect. It's a thing. I get it, right? After the game last night, there's probably a lot of U of H people in here, right? Congratulations to you guys on a very, very good win. That was definitely fun to watch. But here's a common prayer. That our kids would be healthy, right? That our kids would be healthy. That they would grow up strong and that they would continue to physically develop, right? We do not want them to stay how they are when they're born. Here's a picture of one of my kids the day that he was born, and here's a picture of him now. You wouldn't say, oh, now. Here's a picture of him now. He's changed, hasn't he? Right on the left, he couldn't hold his head up, right? He was weak. He wasn't strong. On the right, man, he's developed this physical strength. He is a different kind of kid. And listen, that is something that we prayed for, right? That God would develop his body physically healthy and strong. We don't take it for granted, right? We are very grateful for that blessing that God has given to him, but I believe that that is true for all of us, right? We all have this desire to get stronger, to get better. We all have this desire to grow in every area of our lives. I've talked to a lot of people, and I don't know that I've ever heard somebody say, hey, I really want to get weaker in this area of my life. But the reality is this, it's one or the other. We're getting stronger or we are getting weaker. There's no such thing as neutral. And so as we move into the second half of Ephesians 3, if you've got your Bible open to Ephesians 3:14, we're going to see a similar concept explained spiritually, right? Every parent wants their kid to grow physically stronger and healthier. Well, here, Paul prays this powerful prayer in Ephesians 3 that those in the church in Ephesus, and ultimately me and you as believers, that we would grow and that we would be strengthened spiritually. Now, as we read this, it's going to be very, very obvious that Paul loves the people he's writing to. They matter to him, and it's not just that they matter to him. Their spiritual lives really, really mattered to him. He cares about what's going on in their hearts. He cares about whether or not they know Jesus, whether or not they're walking with Jesus. He cares about whether or not they are growing every day in their knowledge and in the love of God. Let me just ask, do you care about people like that? The people in your life, do you care that they're growing spiritually? Do you care that there's something that is going on in their heart that is drawing them deeper and closer in their love relationship with Christ? And I ask because one of the application points of these verses, I'm going to give it to you now, and you'll see it all throughout the verses, but an application that we see from this is this. All of us need to pray for others to grow spiritually. That needs to be a reoccurring a pattern of prayer in our lives. Write it down, make it a habit. Doesn't matter how old you are, write down Ephesians 3 and pray for the spiritual growth of people in your life. Pray for your kids. Pray for your parents. Pray for your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. If you're in a life group class, pray for your life group class, right? That you guys, that you would grow, that your families would day by day be growing stronger spiritually. Pray for our church family. That this wouldn't just be a place where we come and hang out and drink coffee and spend a couple hours on Sunday, but that we would grow spiritually, that God would continue to work in our hearts through his power that we're going to see here in just a minute, and that we would be strengthened spiritually. You can probably sense where this message is going. Before we dive in, if you're taking notes, our title today is this, Strengthened by God's Power to Know God's Love. Put that down at the top of the page, maybe even over that application point I just gave you. And you're going to see that this title, this is the main idea of this section of verses. I'm sorry I wasn't more creative with the title, but it's very clear what we're talking about this morning. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14, it says this, For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. For this reason. What reason? Look back at verse 1. He starts this train of thought. He starts to pray right there. But then in verses 2 through 13, he goes down a rabbit trail. We chased him down the rabbit trail last week as we talked about evangelism and sharing the gospel and being equipped to do so. The reason that Paul references here goes back even further. It goes back into chapters 1 and 2. The reason ultimately, to put it very shortly, is their new reality in Christ. He's saying because you've been saved and brought into a relationship with God by faith through by grace through faith in Christ, I want you to live like it, right? Live in and through that relationship. He's saying everything now should flow from our relationship with Jesus, our reality as children of God. Everything that Paul's written so far, right, should be what shapes who we are and what we do. That's the reason, and it's so compelling that what does he do? He takes a specific posture. He kneels before God. He doesn't say, hey, because you're a believer, I'm going to kneel and begin to pray for you. He doesn't say, because Christ has radically changed your life, that I knelt down and I spent some time in prayer over you. He says, I kneel. This is a present active verb, meaning ongoing kneeling, ongoing prayer. He's continually going before God on their behalf. Again, back to that first application point, he's praying for their spiritual lives. And he knows that he loves them, and he knows that the absolute best for them, over and above any worldly accomplishment, any worldly success, any worldly riches, he knows even better than any physical health and strength is their spiritual growth. And as I read this and see his passion there, it's convicting for me. And I hope and pray that it's convicting for you too, right? This deep love that he has for others that drives him to this place of prayer. He doesn't even know all of them personally. It's been a while since he's been to Ephesus, but still, he's continually on his knees before the Father praying for them to grow spiritually. Do you pray for people like that? Again, that early application, right? Develop that prayer pattern for the people that God has in your life. And it should go without saying, but he says it anyway, when we pray, we are talking to God. He's asking God on behalf of these believers, by the way, who now understand Ephesians 1 and 2. They've just read it. Right? He's writing to people that understand God's gift of salvation. He's writing to people that understand the vertical and the horizontal power of the cross that we've talked about the past few weeks. He's talking to people that understand the concept of by grace through faith. He's talking to people that understand that their existence has changed entirely because of Jesus. And now they're not only physically alive, but they're spiritually alive because of Christ. And so as he reminds them of that reality, he prays what many commentary writers call the boldest prayer ever prayed, because he wants them to experience all that they know and all that he has talked about so far in the letter. Look at verse 16. He prays that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit and your inner being. So first, Paul prays that we as believers in Christ would be strengthened by God's power. Again, we see that God gives richly to us, his children, right? And Paul prays that God would strengthen us. His hope for them, God's hope for us, is not that we would stay in the same place spiritually as the day we trusted Christ, but that we would grow, that our faith muscles would be strengthened. Think about that. Do you want your faith to be strengthened? Do you want to grow in your relationship with God? Do you want to know God more and more and more? Do you want to have a better grasp of his will and his love in your heart and in your life? I do. I really believe if you're here that you do too. I'll never forget a conversation I had. I was 18 years old. I knew that God had called me at that time to be a pastor. It sort of derailed the plan that I had made for my life. I was now leaning into God's plan for my life. I didn't know what it meant, how to be educated for it. I didn't know what next steps to take. And so I'm praying through it, wrestling through it, trying to find my way through it. And I had a conversation with the guy that spoke at our camp that summer. I was a senior in high school. He was the camp pastor. He pulled me aside and he talked to me for quite a bit. Incredible guy. And a lot of you probably know him. His name's Greg Mott. He's the pastor at Houston's First Baptist Church now. Incredible guy. And he pulled me aside and he said something to me when it comes to spiritual growth. He said, you're going to be in the same place spiritually as you are right now in 10 years. Nothing is going to change. There's going to be no growth in your life unless you do something now to begin growing. Listen, Paul knew that. He knew that without some changes, without some spiritual activity, that those in Ephesus and me and you today, that there would be no spiritual growth. And so he's praying for spiritual strength in our lives. Look back at the verse. Strengthened with what? Strengthened with our own wisdom and knowledge and insight? No. Strengthened by the power of God. The Greek word right there for power is dynamis. Sounds like dynamite, doesn't it? Where we get the word dynamite from. What does dynamite do when you light the fuse? Blows up, right? Dynamite's a very powerful explosion. But dynamis, which we read about here in the Greek, that's powerful as well, but it's not an explosive power. It is an ability, right? It is a capability that comes only as the Holy Spirit works inside of us. So this prayer for strength through the power of God, it's not that our biceps would be strengthened. This is not a physical thing, but that our inside would be strengthened as the Holy Spirit as it works in us. Remember, you saw my kid. Physically, we're growing up. We're getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. But at some point, that changes, doesn't it? We hit this bell curve of our physical life. And at some point, as it's probably a different age for everybody, we are no longer getting stronger. Our bodies are beginning to get weaker. We can fight it all we want. We can work out all we want. We can stay as strong as we can for as long as we can. And that's a good thing for us to do. Be a good steward of the body that God has given us. Do not hear me say, don't try to be strong. That's not it. But at some point, time wins, right? And our bodies begin to get weaker. Pay attention to Paul's prayer here. Pay attention to what he says in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, therefore, we don't give up. Even though our bodies are being destroyed, our inner person is renewed day by day. Listen, Paul is emphasizing the heart. He's emphasizing a strength that comes from inside of us. Listen, not our strength, through the power of God or the ability that God gives us. It's from God's power and God's ability that we can do what he's called us to do. It's the power of God in us that enables us to fight sin and temptation and choose righteousness in our lives, right? That's not us, that's God. It's the power of God in us that allows us to do the first half of Ephesians 3, be that Christ-centered missionary everywhere we go. That's not on us, that's on God and his power working in us. It's through the power of God, the ability of God in us that allows us to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? That is the work of God in our hearts, enabling us to do what he's calling us to do. So our focus here, we see, needs to be on growing stronger spiritually. Let's make sure, listen, work out all you want, but make sure that you are spending more time on your heart, on your spiritual strength, than you are on your physical strength, right? The spiritual stuff lasts for an eternity. And Paul doubles down on that prayer as he continues into verse 17. He says, be strengthened with power through his spirit, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ dwells in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, right? And verse 17, Paul emphasizes the reality of dwell, right? That word dwell right there. And here's how we know that's the focus. If you're going to send a message to somebody today, a text message, how would you really emphasize or make a point and say, hey, this is a bigger deal than everything else I've sent you today? How are you going to emphasize it? All caps, maybe? Exclamation point? An emoji? Maybe you would send a GIF or a GIF. Which one is it? We're going to settle it. If If you say it's a gift, raise your hand. You were confident. I like that. If you say it is a GIF, raise your hand. Not enough votes happened. If you don't know what I'm talking about, raise your hand. Listen, sometimes we try to drive home the message, right, with something like that. Here's a few that I sent this week. Altuve had a great game, right? That was before the errors in left field. The home run, I sent that, right? I was trying to celebrate something else. Some of my kids winning games, and so I sent this to someone, right? When we want to make a point, when we want to emphasize something, we have tools. We have resources in our writing. I've read a lot of old Greek texts, never seen an emoji, never seen an exclamation point, never seen a capital letter. You know why? Not in the language. Right? It's not a part of it. And so how's Paul going to make a point here with the word dwell? Well, he puts dwell first in the sentence. It doesn't read well in English, right? So we didn't write it that way. But it makes a huge point in the Greek. He says that we can be strengthened by God's power because through the Spirit, Christ dwells in our hearts. The dwelling of Jesus in our hearts is where any of that power is going to come from in the first place. And by the way, it's a promise that Jesus gave us in John 15. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I'll ask the Father. He'll give you a helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it doesn't see him or know him, but you know him for what? He dwells with you, and he will be in you. Christ dwells in our hearts through the Spirit. Slow down and think about what those words mean. Think about the reality, right, of eternal Jesus Christ dwelling inside your heart. We talk about it a lot. We say it a lot. But when we really think about it, are we on the same page? Are we thinking through the reality of him dwelling in us? And listen, as you think about it right now, you might have a question. You might be thinking, why would Paul even pray that? He's writing the believers that have trusted Christ. Isn't Jesus already in their hearts? Great question. Yes, of course he is. Paul's talking about more. Paul is talking about Christ ruling our hearts. You see the word dwell. It's not just talking about a spatial location. Dwell right here, it's not just a quick visit. To dwell means to settle in and settle down and to make something your own. D.A. Carson, great writer, pastor, author, he illustrates, he helps us understand the reality of Christ dwelling in us by pointing us to Waco, Texas. I didn't mention Baylor earlier. Here we go, Baylor fans. He points us to Waco, Texas, and he talks about Chip and Joanna Gaines. You remember them? The fixer-upper people. They've got the silos up there. Their entire deal is about taking a home, a space, or sorry, a house, a space, and making it a home, letting it begin to reflect the character, the nature of the people that are living there. Well, D.A. Carson says, when Christ dwells in us, when he moves in, he finds the moral equivalent to trash. Black and silver wallpaper, he finds a leaky roof, he finds busted plumbing, and so he sets about through his power to turn our heart into a residence, a dwelling place that is appropriate for him. And just like our houses begin to reflect our nature and our character, his residence of our heart begins to characterize or reflect him. It's his power that changes us. That's why Paul prays for this transforming power in these believers, and it will begin reflecting the character of God. Listen, we got to remember, it's not through our strength that we live godly lives. It's Christ in us. It's his power in us. It's him dwelling in us, providing the ability every single day for us to do what he has called us to do. We must have God's power right here if we are going to do God's will. Now, just logically, if he's praying for me and you to get stronger, if he's praying for strength, that means it's not going to happen automatically. Right? That means that it's possible for us not to grow, for us to stay weak, or even to get weaker. But that's not God's desire for us, not for me, for my family, not for you or for your family. So let's start working out spiritually. Let's ensure that we are getting stronger. When Christ dwells in us and begins to make our heart and life a residence that is suitable for him, he's going to show us stuff as we read his word. He's going to show us his will, what it looks like to walk with him. He's going to put other believers in our lives that love us and that love him that are also going to tell us what this thing has to say. Listen, and here's the deal. When God speaks to us, however he speaks, through his word, through other believers, man, when we respond to him in obedience, when we know what he says and then we do it, it's like we're lifting spiritual weights right there, right? The old is being pushed out. The new is being pushed in. Our faith is growing stronger. But the opposite is true as well. If you don't want to get stronger spiritually, if you don't want to grow in your faith, if you want to get weaker spiritually, if you want to disrupt the intimacy that you have with him, well, just do the opposite. Right, as God speaks to you through his word, as God speaks to you through other believers or life groups or sermons or podcasts, and you hear and know the word of God, to get weaker, just do your own thing. Right? Take his word and close it and do your own thing. I don't think any of us want to do that. So let's respond in obedience to God's power in our hearts and lives. And as we do, we're going to know Christ's love on a whole new level. As Paul continues his prayer, what we see is how the power he prays for, it leads to a growing knowledge of the love of God in our hearts and our lives. He prays that we'd be strengthened by God's power, and as we are, here's number two, we will know Christ's love. He gets specific here about the love of Christ in our lives. He doesn't say, hey, Jesus loves you and all the little children of the world. He could have, and it's true, but he elaborates. He helps us grow in our understanding of the love of God. Look at verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. We learn two truths about God's love right there. The first is this, we're secured by the love of God. Again, same word order thing here in this segment of the sentence. Love is first. That's the emphasis. Love is the foundation. As Christ dwells, begins moving some things around in and out of our heart, his love becomes the foundation or the starting point. And as he writes this, he's writing to a diverse group of people, just like we are today. He's writing to people that would have been farmers and people that would have been city dwellers. And so he uses two analogies just to paint the picture of God's love as the starting point for us. Verse 17, he talks about being rooted. Well, think plants. That's the analogy. What are roots for the plant? They're the bottom, right? They are the basis. They are the foundation. Life and nutrients flows up from the roots into the plant. In the same way, as Christ dwells within us, everything should flow from him and his love as the root, right? It's what brings his life, his power into our life, our heart. Here's what that means. It means that mine and yours, it means that our attitudes, our words, the way that we treat our spouses and our kids and our friends and strangers, the way that we respond at work, the situations or disappointment, temptation, all of it, right? All of our life, it flows from the root of Christ's love as he dwells in our hearts. And if the root thing doesn't connect, if you're not a farmer, I'm not, my plants die quick, he uses the word grounded. Right? He's referring to a foundation. Right? This is a building term, a foundation that we'll be built on. What's the foundation? Well, the love of Christ, right? That's the foundation, which means, again, all of our decisions, right? They're built on top of that foundation. Our careers, our spouses, whether we marry or not, and who we marry, how we spend our money, how we invest our family's time, the priorities that we lay out for our families, what we're going to do and not do, they're not about us. They're a response to the love of God as he dwells or works in our hearts and lays a foundation, right? God's love, everything springs from there. And the second truth about the love of God here is this. It is a big, 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 big love. If you're taking notes, you have to write all of those down, right? There's a reason, right? Well, I want to think, however big you think about God's love, it's not big enough, right? Think big about the love of God. Look at verse 18. So that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Again, this passage is not about our love for God, which is critically important, by the way. Paul's reminding us about God's love for me and you. He's painting this picture of how huge the love of God is. And as our faith is strengthened, Paul prays that we would grasp it, that we would begin to understand it. Look at verse 19. He's praying that we would know something that surpasses knowledge. He's praying that we would know something so massive and so incredible that it's unknowable. He's praying that through the power of God, we'd know the love of God. And we'd understand it more and more and more, that the love of God would overwhelm us, that we'd grow stronger in our faith, that we'd realize every day just how loved we are by God. Listen, I know my parents love me. They told me my whole life. But I, like a lot of kids, we probably took it for granted. Didn't really understand it for a very long time. Until I had kids of my own, right? It's a little change in your heart when that happens. And you begin to understand in a new way the incredible love of your parents. Listen, the church in Ephesus, they got this letter. If you would have asked them, they would have said, we know God loves us. That they would have said that they knew that. But it's possible that they didn't think about it much, or they didn't really understand how big that love was or appreciate the gravity of it like they should, which have resulted in lives not truly built on the love of God in their hearts, right? Not understanding and comprehending the love of God and how big it is for them, it could have led a lot of them to sort of do their own thing. And instead of locking into the Lord and growing spiritually, they're off here on their own and they're not growing in their faith. And in the same way, it's possible that the church in Houston right here could be in the same boat. All of us academically would say, yes, God loves me. The Bible says that God loves me. I've heard it for quite some time. Life group teachers, friends, neighbors, parents, and pastors have told me that God loves me. But it's possible that we could be in a place mentally where we haven't grasped the gravity of the love of God for us, the bigness of the love of God for us. And because of that, our lives aren't built on a foundation of the love of God. We're doing our own thing, and we're not really growing the way that he has called us to grow. And so Paul prays for me and you that our capacity to know the love of God would grow through the power of God at work in our lives as he dwells in our hearts, moving the old out, bringing the new in, so that we could understand the breadth and height and depth and knowledge of the love of God. And that's for every single one of us, no matter how long we've been walking with Jesus, 5 days or 50 years, it doesn't matter. There's always more to learn, always more to discover, always new areas where we can grow in the knowledge of the love of God. And there's a point to this, right? Look at verse 19. As we understand his love more, it fills us up. Verse 19, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. We're filled up, we're going to fall more and more in love with Jesus. And all of the information from Ephesians 1 and 2, the blessings that we have in the heavenlies, the wisdom and knowledge of the mysteries of God, the vertical power of the cross to reconcile us to the Father, the horizontal work of the cross to reconcile us to one another. As we understand more and more the love of God, all of this begins to overwhelm us, and that strength that he prays for becomes a reality. When we're filled with the fullness of God like this and really get what he's saying here, we become the people that he has created and called us to be in a relationship with him. And that's what the second half of Ephesians is all about. There's a very clear break in this book, chapters 1 through 3. And this is theology, our relationship with Christ kind of stuff. And it wraps up here in one more verse that I'm about to read. And then, starting in chapter 4, it's because you know all of this, because your reality has changed, because of the power of the cross, now live like this. And it gets very practical in chapters 4 through 6. Your work life, your home life, your marriage, your family, your kids, your words, your finances, all of that is laid out in the second half of this book. But before he closes out, he ends with worship. Look at verse 20. He says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." Paul prayed big. He prayed big for this church and for us. They wouldn't be weak, that they'd be strong. They would understand the power of God is at work in their life so that they could know the unknowable love of God. Look at this text all together. Be strengthened by God's power so that Christ would dwell in us in a way that allows us to understand or comprehend his love to the point that we are filled up with him. And if you're sitting there thinking, that is impossible in my life, I have missed the love of God, I'm disqualified from the love of God, I don't deserve the love of God. If you're thinking that you have missed it or that you have messed it up and that God's never going to give you the strength we talk about here, I want to invite you, look at verse 20 one more time. We see here that God can do it. In fact, that God can do more than you think, more than you dream, more than you would even dare to ask for. You might doubt how God could work in your heart, but God can do it. He can, he will, and he does work miracles in people's hearts every single day. Let him work in yours and grow stronger through his power dwelling in you spiritually. Would you pray with me this morning? As we bow to pray, let me just encourage you to consider God's word, consider where you're at. Maybe you say you're super strong right now. Maybe you say that you feel very, very weak and distant spiritually. I want to encourage you to respond to this text by being strengthened spiritually. Wherever God's at work in your life, be obedient to him. Right? Whatever God's telling you to do, the answer is yes. Whatever God's teaching you right now, respond by doing what he said. And as you do, you're lifting those spiritual weights, right? You're exercising those spiritual muscles through his power, and you're growing spiritually in your faith. And as you grow, right, make sure that your life now begins to flow from Christ's love, right? We see that's the foundation. So we're growing stronger spiritually. We're knowing his love more and more. And as we know his love, all of our life now flows from his love. Let it be what drives you, your family, your decisions, priorities, all of it. So this morning, pray for your heart. Pray for the heart of others in your life, that you and those close to you would grow stronger spiritually. And we all know that starts by stepping into a relationship with Christ. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never trusted him, I want to encourage you in just a minute. We're going to stand and sing one more song. Our pastors will be down here at the front. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to come on down like several did in our last service and say, hey, I need to trust Christ. We'll take you by the hand. We'll sit down with you. We'll walk out from God's word, what that means. We'll answer any questions. All right, you'll start a brand new relationship with Jesus. He literally will begin to dwell in your heart, and you will never be the same. If you're a believer in Jesus this morning, and you're not growing right now like you know you need to be. I've talked with several people after the service, and they're like, you know what? I've been doing my thing. I need to do the Lord's thing so he can work in me, and I can grow like he's called me to. And if that's you, we'd love to pray with you about that, encourage you in that. If you've got people in your life that you want to pray for their spiritual growth, like Paul prays here, we'd love to pray with you over that. Or maybe it's just been a rough week. I've sat with several of you this week in homes and hospitals. I just know there's a lot going on. So maybe you've got something going on and you want someone to pray with you, encourage you. Our pastors will be here, and we'd love to pray with you about anything that's going on in your life. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you do not leave us where you find us. God, you grow us. You work in us. God, you root that old stuff out. You bring your stuff in. God, you transform us more and more every day into your image. And God, we are so thankful for that. God, I pray that your power would work in us right here, right now, so that we could begin getting a better grasp on the bigness of your love for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with Him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.